This is the Scorebook Live Today podcast, a podcast about high school sports in the state of Washington. It's Thursday, November 14th. Week one of the high school football playoffs are upon us. I've got Todd Millis on the line. Todd, are you excited for playoffs?
I'm excited, but I see that the weather has turned for the worse. We've had such fantastic weather. I think I've had one rainy Friday night all fall, but now it looks like it's going to be wet and stormy and maybe even cold. So we're really turning to football weather at the right time.
With how nice the fall's been, we honestly, you know, we've had it coming for a while. So we're going to make our picks on every game across all classifications today. That's just kind of a quick rundown. In the second segment, Dan Dickow is going to interview Jackson Grant of Olympia. He's a four-star. He's a recent commit to the University of Washington, their first commit in the 2021 class. But before then, let's start to run down our picks.
Let's do it.
Before we start the picks, Todd, do you know where you're going to be this weekend, what you're going to be covering?
I do. I'm going to be at Bellevue High School. I think we were there in week one to watch Bellevue take on Central Valley of Spokane in a non-leaguer. I'll be back there to start the playoffs, watch them take on Lakes, two traditional powerhouses, teams that you expect to go pretty far in the 3A playoffs. And then on Saturday, I'll be at Arkwright Field in Spanaway for the doubleheader of the Graham Kapowsin Gonzaga Prep up at 1, and then the nightcap will be Bethel Garfield, a team with about as good of athletes you're going to see on a football field.
Both of those games will run down soon and preview soon. I'm going to be on Friday. I'm in Spokane recording this right now at Scorebook Live HQ, and I'll be at Mount Spokane Peninsula. So looking forward to seeing Mount Spokane and Peninsula for the first time this season, and particularly the running back sensation, Mr. Statman Cannon Katzer. So, and then Saturday, I'll be driving to the Tri-Cities to cover Chiawana Mount Si in a game that we could honestly spend. I mean, I could talk about that game for this whole podcast. I'm really excited to see how Mount Si matches up against Chiawana's defense. So without further ado, let's run through our picks in each bracket. By the way, all of these picks, every bracket breakdown is on scorebooklive.com/Washington right now. You can find it there as well as this podcast. So 4A, Todd, we're going to start with the game I just mentioned. 11 seed Mount Si Wildcats at number 6 seed Chiawana Riverhawks. What is your prediction? What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, I mean, I give the home field advantage to the good defense, the team that won the MCC, might have the best defense and defensive schemes in particular, not only in Eastern Washington, but right there with Woodinville and a few others here on the west side around the state. Steve Graff's a fantastic defensive coach. He's won a number of state championships on the strength of defense. They've had a reputation of just sort of flustering opposing quarterbacks. This is going to be a tough test because Clay Millen is at Mount Si he's probably faced more pressure than any quarterback we've seen on Twitter, wouldn't you say, Andy? I mean, the guy's taken hit after hit after hit. That offensive line's kind of been up and down with the Wildcats, but I'll tell you, I kind of applaud the way Clay is able to kind of hang in there and take big shots and deliver the ball down the field to a pretty good set of receivers. I know they don't have Botten for the rest of the year with the injury, but
they don't have Botten, but they got back running back Cole Nora, who was out since January with an ACL tear, and they really took to the ground last week. Nora had like 123 yards rushing. So, you know, they're going to come up against a team in Chiawana that really stops the ground game. So it'll be interesting to see, like you said, you know, how Chiawana fares against the best quarterback it's seen all year. So let's move on to 14 seed Union at number 3 seed Lake Stevens. What's your prediction?
Pain. Lots of it. I think we can all feel Lake Stevens' pain. We've talked about it on the podcast on Sunday. The consensus number one team all year in 4A. The seeding committee dropped them to a 3 for the state playoffs. We've talked. Yes, one of the decisions I don't agree with at all. This is a team that played for the state championship last year, returned a large group of seniors. They're the only position they really had a question mark was at quarterback, and Tanner Jellison's been fantastic. He's one of the leading passers in 4A. And taking into consideration that this is the team that ended their season last year, so I think you're going to see Lake Stevens try and pay it back as full can be. I expect this to be a possible mercy rule game. I mean, Union's done great with the quarterback shuffle and all the expectations and losing a lot of seniors from last year, but I think the road ends, and it ends in a big way this weekend.
Number 10, Eastlake versus number 7, Puyallup. Who do you have coming out on top? Is this an upset? Is this our first upset prediction?
This was. And, you know, I'm a Pierce County guy. I really respect the heck out of Gary Jeffers. Watched a lot of their games last year. They went all the way to the state semifinals and lost a close game at Union. They've had their problems with quarterbacks who can move. We saw it last year with Lincoln Victor twice at Union. And we saw it a little bit this year with Nathan Thomas at Graham Kapausen. And we saw it a little bit this year in the rematch with Union. Why can't I think of his name?
C.J. Jordan.
Yeah, there we go. C.J. Jordan. And I think they're facing, you know, probably the best dual threat in the tournament. And Grady Robeson is a Montana State commit. He's not... You know, he's 6'1". He's not the biggest guy in the world, but man, when he finds an opening, he's got legit 40-meter, 100-meter sprinting speed, and I'm not sure Puyallup has that kind of speed to keep up. I expect a big game from Grady Robeson. I think Eastlake and Don Bartel come back and they upset the Vikings at home.
Number 15, Eastmont travels to Doc Harris Stadium and plays number 2, Camas. What's your prediction?
Yeah, I mean, people who know the state and know the leagues pretty well, this, you know, that CBBN league has been a couple steps behind the rest of the state for a few years now. Not since Wenatchee had that run here, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. They won a state playoff game back then. But I don't see how Eastmont even stays in this game. Camas is – they appear to have kind of weathered their quarterback storm with the injuries – to Jacob Blair. I expect this to be a mercy rule game as well, and that could happen. You know, this could be ugly quickly. Camas is big. They can beat you in a number of different ways. I just don't see how, and we can even talk about Wenatchee going to number 1 Lake Stevens as well. I expect both those games to be rather easy for you know, two of the clear state favorites.
Perhaps more of a toss-up of a game is number 12 Kentwood at number 5 Bothell. What's your take?
Fun. I think this could be the most exciting, enjoyable game to watch. You know, Mike Bush was a longtime assistant coach under Tom Boehner at Bothell before he took the head coaching job at Kentwood. You know, lots of length and speed on the outside with, you know, you've got Alphonse Oyewok at Kentwood, you've got Jordan Turner at Bothell. I mean, you've got
athletes.
Yeah, Jalen Green. I mean, you've got so many fantastic perimeter players in this game, and two quarterbacks. Now, depending on who's going to start, I assume it's going to be Church at Kentwood. He's kind of filled in the last couple weeks, and then obviously and Sermon's really come on for Bothell here since the Kinko Championship game when they really haven't had Christian Galvin. He's been in and out of the lineup. I think whoever makes the most big plays in this game will win. I think it's a toss-up. I think I'd pick Bothell, you know, slightly, maybe by a touchdown, but would not surprise me if the Conks go to Pop Keeney and pull out the win.
Game you will be at, number 13 Gonzaga Prep at number 4 Graham Kapausen.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge always facing the Bullpups is – you don't see the triple option at the 4A level all that often. It's a difficult offense to prepare for in 1 week. You know, if you had to nitpick a little bit about maybe where, you know, the weakness in this defense, this Graham Kapausen defense is, and traditionally it's been in the linebacking core. But I expect Gonzaga Prep to score, but I just don't know how Gonzaga Prep's young team, that young defense, stops Graham Kapausen. I think once Graham Kapausen sort of gets the timing of that triple option offense down, I expect them to pull away in the second half and then cruise.
This one might be, you know, up there with the 12-5 and being a good game. That's number 9 Skyview at Woodinville. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I covered Woodinville last week in their district game against Emerald Ridge, and it was a struggle for them for 2.5 quarters for a defense that's traditionally been so stout, so difficult to not only score upon but move the ball on. They gave up some yardage in the middle of that defense. I'm not saying that Wayne Maxwell and that group can't make adjustments, but if I were Skyview, McGee would get his number called 25-30 times in this game, shorten the game. I could see Skyview winning a low scoring game, but since this game's going to be up at Pop Keeney, I'm picking Woodinville just slightly in the first round matchup.
And to wrap it up, the 16-1 Wenatchee at Kennedy Catholic.
Yeah, I mean, it's Sam Heward's first state playoff game. I expect him to pass for 500 yards and about 20 touchdowns. I think the Lancers really going to flex their muscle. They like it, like I said in the top 25 comments. They like the noise loud. It's going to be real loud this weekend. It's the number 1 seed in the tournament. They'll have no problem beating Wenatchee.
On to 3A. We'll start with where we left off at 4A, the 16 and the 1. You have Kelso traveling up, playing number 1 O'Day Fighting Irish. I did the predictions for 3A on scorebooklive.com/Washington, so I'll kind of run through these. I picked an O'Day win, 38-14. I wouldn't be surprised if O'Day didn't let Kelso score. Kelso does have a really dynamic running back in Josh Webb, who can really, bust one off. But he's going up against a defense that doesn't really have any holes.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched O'Day a couple times this year. They have given up some big plays against the opposing rushing attacks, so I could see that happening. But with O'Day's, their size on both fronts, with Jalen Dixon, with Owen Prentice, who's as good a run blocker as there is in the state, that offense has been rolling. O'Day might give up something early, but I don't see any problem for the Irish advancing.
The 15 versus the 2, that's number 15 Squalicum at number 2 Eastside Catholic. I think this game's chalk too. I think Eastside Catholic, who is perhaps the most talented team in state history, is going to roll through this one, and I think they're playing with a vengeance in these playoffs after losing to O'Day at home.
Well, you look at all the seniors on their roster that have won this thing before. They want to go out a winner again. G. Scott Jr., DJ Rogers, Sam Adams, Gio Orsina. I mean, that's a dynamic senior group that they have. You're right. And Eastside Catholic has had its moments of struggling to contain opposing offenses here in the second half of the season since the O'Day game, but too much offense there for the Crusaders. I think they win going away.
Number 14 Seattle Prep at number 3 Lincoln. I mean, like we've said in the past, 1-2-3 at 3A level with O'Day, Eastside, and Lincoln are as strong as it gets. There's a clear 1-2-3. I think Lincoln's going to roll this game. I'm not sure that Seattle Prep's going to have a response for everything that Lincoln has. Both out wide and Jalen Clark, Donovan Clark, Julian Simon. I'm predicting a Lincoln win. My prediction specifically was 45-14. Agree, disagree?
I agree that Lincoln's going to win. Unlike the previous two underdogs that we talked about, this is a team that's played O'Day. This is a team that's played Eastside Catholic.
That's a good point.
They've had moderate success. Aaron Maul grew up here. Used to coach at Bellarmine Prep. He knows that Lincoln program. He's probably scouted them, a handful of times. I give the Panthers a little more credit than that. I think it's going to be closer than people think, but I see the Abes winning by a couple touchdowns.
Sure, sure. Here's a game that I think might be closer. Is number 13 Garfield goes to number 4 Bethel. you know, Bethel has the weapons. You know, they've got Will and Peter Latu, who, you know, are two game-changing players, and they've really tested themselves this season. Bethel has. I see a Garfield team that has really gone through the gauntlet this season as well in that Metro League top tier division. I'm picking Bethel by two touchdowns, but I think Garfield's going to get theirs. You know, Avery Morrow, a running back, and they've got some weapons. I see this being a little bit closer of a game, but certainly a Bethel win.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I actually think this game is going to be relatively close. You know, Bethel, you look at their schedule, their three losses are as quality of losses as you're going to see. But, you know, in all three of those losses, they've had real concerning lulls in the second half. They have to find a way to be a little more consistent in making adjustments after halftime. And this is a team that can go toe-to-toe with them athletically. It is at Arkwright Field. The Braves have enjoyed an immense amount of success there. You mentioned all the guys they have. Kiko Vesperas has been pretty good in his first year as a starter. I see Bethel winning, but I see this game going all the way down to the fourth quarter.
No question. Here we got number 12, Yelm, at number 5, Kennewick. You know, Kennewick has been really solid defensively this year. Their only loss was a glaring one, a 37-0 blowout to Chiawana. But other than that, you know, they ran past Kamiakin and have, you know, really taken care of everyone else. But this is, you know, the first time they're testing themselves against a, you know, a West Side team. And Yelm, you know, is not gonna roll over. I pick, despite Kennewick having the home field advantage, 21-14, Kennewick win. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, Kennewick's defense is legit. Yelm did go on that run last year. They beat Lakes at Lakes last year in the postseason. It's a team that hadn't been in the postseason for a number of years. They got a lot of those guys back. But it's tough going over to Tri-Cities and playing over there. Against a really good Kennewick team that demolished Kamiakin in league play. I see Kennewick also winning, but I think Kennewick's actually going to win by a bigger margin than you do.
In my hand right now, I have a gigantic ladle, a big spoon. I'm just stirring that pot. Here I'm picking my first upset. Number 11, Prairie. I'm picking them to beat number 6, Marysville Pilchuck, who is undefeated. I think the Prairie Falcons are going to go up there and hand MP their first loss. I went and defended this on the Everett Herald's press coverage podcast. They cover Marysville Pilchuck, so I feel very confident with this pick. Prairie has an offense that's as dynamic and high scoring as any in 3A. I mean, they've really put up a lot of points. They haven't. This might be their toughest test of the season, an undefeated Marysville Pilchuck, but the same can be said about MP. They haven't, you know, playing that 3A Wesco League. I think there's, you know, genuine questions of you know, how strong that league is this year specifically. Prairie's going to score a lot of points. I'm not sure MP is going to be able to keep up. What do you think?
I agree. I think Prairie's got more diversity to that offense. They can pass the ball. I'm not sure Marysville Pilchuck can. If it's a shootout, if Prairie can jump out to a lead on the road early, I like the Falcons in this game. I think their league showed a little bit better than people expected. And definitely showed better than the 3A Wesco. So I also think the Falcons are going to post the lower seeded Falcons are going to win up there in Everett.
I've still got that big ladle in my hand. We've got number 10 Lakes at number 7 Bellevue. This is a game you're going to be at, as you said earlier. I've got a Lakes win. You were the one to convince me of this. Bellevue, you know, they've had, you know, an impressive season. They're 8-2, but by Bellevue standards, I mean, they're not the same team that they were last year. They did lose a lot. That system is still humming under second year coach Michael Knipe, but you know, I think Lakes is really looking for their first signature win. You know, their toughest games this season, and each of their losses has come against their two toughest league challenges. I'm picking Lakes in a barn burner, 28-27. Let's get crazy.
Yeah, I mean, both teams have you know, weaknesses to exploit. I think the inside run, I think Bellevue could get something there in the wing T in the inside run. Even though Lakes' set of linebackers are pretty good, Lakes can certainly get something there in the pass game. Lakes is healthy. They come from a tough league. But Bellevue's been rolling. They've won They've won a number of games. They rolled through the 2A, 3A Kinko. But I also see the Lancers posting the upset at Bellevue. I just think they have a little more diversity to their offense as well.
Number 9, Peninsula at number 8, Mount Spokane. Peninsula is down. It's all-state caliber tight end Mason Hyde for the season. That didn't slow them from, you know, winning the South Sound Conference. I think that's a really tough challenge to come, you know, cross the pass and face a Mount Spokane team that has a running back that just nobody's really had an answer for in Cannon Katzer. He's, you know, had 211 yards and 5 touchdowns last week over a Kamiakin team, you know, that's been pretty solid all year. I think Mount Spokane rolls in this game. Am I wrong here?
Yeah, I mean, Peninsula's had a great run of making the state quarterfinals here over the last 7 or 8 years. I think this is a tall task. I think Cannon Katzer is going to be the best player on the field by a wide margin. They're going to be playing at home. I think, you know, that they've gotten kind of tired of coming over to the west side and playing. It's time for them to kind of show what, you know, what they're about, you know, on the home field. I do think they're going to beat Peninsula in a close game. I just, as much as I respect that staff there and what they can do and how they can scheme with Ross Filkins, I just think too much Cannon Katzer in this game. Nobody in the GSL has been able to stop them, and I don't expect the Seahawks to either.
Certainly not. That wraps up 3A. And for 2A and 1A and 2B, due to time constraints, let's kind of just fly through these, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Okay. First off, 11 seed Washougal at 6 seed Clarkston.
Yeah, I mean, that's Caden Frazier. They, that's, you know, they that's a pretty good league over there that people don't know a lot about. I expect Caden Frazier to handle his business, and I expect Clarkston to win a very, very close game against a senior-dominated Washougal team.
Frazier over 2,000 passing yards, 31 touchdowns, so I like that pick as well. Number 14, Othello at number 3, Linden. Is there any reason this isn't chalk?
No. Othello is just one of those funky teams. They do some, you know, they're big. They've been to the playoffs a number of times, but this is Linden. Linden was in the state championship game. They're big. They got a big offensive line, a really good running back, and Steven DeLorenzo. I expect Linden to roll.
10, Eatonville at 7, Prosser.
I know a lot of people think that the this is an upset special. You know, the Cruisers have moved Caden Jumper to quarterback. He's as one coach told me, you know, tackling him 25 times a game is no fun. Prosser has won 7 in a row after the slow start, but they've had some nail biters as well. I could see the Cruisers going over there and winning, but it's Prosser. I give Prosser the slight edge over the Cruisers in this one.
Number 15, Ridgefield travels up in their first playoff appearance in a few years, more than a decade. They get number 2, Steilacoom Sentinels. You know, perhaps one of the, you know, the most athletic team in 2A.
Yeah, I mean the oddity of the Sentinels' schedule is, and I don't know if it's the way Colby Davies had planned it, but every team on their schedule went to the postseason this year. They're not going to be intimidated by anybody. The Sentinels behind Emeka Egbuka and that Chance McDonald and that great passing attack rolls.
Number 12, Squim at number 5, Lakewood. Does Lakewood roll here?
I do. I think that district is so strong, so well represented. The Olympic League has sort of taken it on the chin. North Kitsap had a couple good teams here that played Archbishop Tough here in recent times, but that Lakewood running attack, Dan Teeter's group, fantastic year. They keep it rolling. They go into round 2.
Ellensburg under first-year coach Jeff Senesek. They get 2-time defending champs Hawkinson in the first round. That's a 13 versus 4. Who do you got?
You mentioned Jeff. He's coached at the college level at Central. He's great at scheming for teams. He used to coach at Tenino, so he knows that Southwest District League. Even though he was at 1A, he knows those schools down there. But you know, too much Levi Crum, too much pride by the Hawks. They're not going to lose in their defense of their crown 2-year run. They're not going to lose in the first round. I see the Hawks going on.
About as tough of an 8 seed on our next pick as exists in the entire state playoffs across all classifications. That's number 8, Archbishop Murphy hosting number 9 North Kitsap, a team I saw last week. Does Archbishop roll here?
Yeah, I think they're a little underseeded, to be honest with you. Victor Gabalis, they have a really good front on both sides of the ball. They've opened up the wing tee a little bit. They're not running the wing tee as much as they are, so they're probably, you know, they're going to score. I just don't see how North Kitsap can keep up. That's a good young North Kitsap team to watch out for years to come, but that's their season will end here this weekend.
Gosh, a quick side note before we move on to our last team. Victor Gabalis just posted a picture from his official visit at Hawaii, and I showed Gray and Reagan here in the Spokane office, the Scorebook Live office. How does Hawaii not just like sweep up recruiting? Victor Gabalis's photo is on the beach. That's the easiest selling pitch. I wouldn't even have to take a visit. I just look at that photo and say, oh, they want to pay for my college. They want me to play there. Sign me up.
Yeah, you know, he's got a little Harry Winkler look to him. So I think he'd blend pretty yeah. well on the beach. Work on that tan, you know, and he'd have Lincoln Victor to throw the football to. That wouldn't be a bad landing spot for him.
No kidding. Lastly, in 2A, number 1, Tumwater, they host 16, Franklin Pierce. Is there any reason to believe that the Tumwater doesn't roll here, the clear 2A favorite?
Well, I mean, they will, but this is not the 16th worst team in the league. This is not the worst team in the field. Franklin Pierce has got a lot of seniors. They've only got 2 losses. You know, Trevor Hansen has done a really good job keeping this thing going. They don't have enough horses to keep up with that really big, strong, determined Tumwater team, which I think at this point everybody agrees is the clear favorite, the clear number 1.
On to 1A. We'll start up top with the 16-1. Number 1 Royal hosts number 16 Charles Wright. Shout out to the Terriers, but that's just a really tough draw because Royal's the clear favorite here. I don't see them losing.
No, they went to East here a few years ago to play Royal, and it was ugly. I don't expect it to be anything different. The question is, will the Terriers score? Because those Knights, man, that Knights defense has been very, very, very difficult to score on all year.
My prediction, which was 51-7, has the Terriers scoring 1 touchdown, so we'll see if that lives up to it.
Okay.
We got number 9, Colville. At number 8, OMAC. It's a 9 versus 8. Typically, those are pretty well matched. I think this is going to be, you know, a good team or a good game. Colville, obviously the defending 1A champs, who look fairly different from last year. I see this being a game that comes down to the wire. 21-17, Colville's my pick.
I mean, Randy Cornwell's group's defending. They upset Royal in the state playoffs. They had 2 home losses this year, which is really rare. But this is go time for the Indians. Don't know if OMAC's, you know, they're kind of in deep waters here. Waters they're not used to. But you know, you got to respect what they've accomplished. I see the Indians moving on.
Number 13, Connell. I drove through it yesterday at number 4, Le Centre. Le Centre 2 years ago was in the state semifinals. Last year they didn't make the postseason. I think Le Centre is back. MVP quarterback Tom Lambert, league MVP, I should say. I'm picking Le Centre 41-21. What do you think?
Most underrated undefeated team in 1A. I think they roll. I think this is a team to watch out for, not only this week but in the coming weeks as well.
Team that had a really hot start to the season, that's number 5, Mount Baker. They host number 12, Hoquiam. I've got Baker by a lot. I think it's going to be 42-12. Would you agree?
Yes. Ron Leppert's group moves on. They seem to perform well. Once they get in the big dance, they seem to perform well, find ways to grind out wins. Hoquiam never really met expectations this year. I know they've suffered some injuries. Mount Baker in a big way.
Number 2 seed LaSalle hosts number 15 Cashmere. LaSalle with quarterback Kieran Kershaw and wideout Ryan Kershaw. You know, they've had as impressive of a team as is out there this season outside of obviously Royal. I'm picking LaSalle 38-14. What do you think?
Well, I think most people think that if somebody is going to challenge Royal this year, this is the team that's going to do it. I also would throw a good passing team, you know, Cascade Christian, Lyndon Christian in that as well, but LaSalle, yeah, nobody's stopping LaSalle this week. Yeah, I see LaSalle in a big way as well.
Here's one that might garner some debate. And number 10, Cascade Christian at number 7, Linden Christian. Cascade Christian obviously has a couple of sets of players who you've written about. We've written about at Scorebook Live. And that's quarterback Parker Johnson. They've got the best quarterback in 1A. They've got the Zetterbergs out wide. They go at a really deep number 7, Linden Christian. I think that depth and helmed by quarterback Trajan Schouten, I think Linden Christian edges him here. What do you think? Well, I have Linden Christian by a touchdown.
Yeah, it's a rematch of the game last year that Parker Johnson sat out for. He had a concussion. He was coming off a concussion, did not get back in time. It was a good game for a half. Parker Johnson's really motivated. He privately told me he would not mind seeing Linden Christian again. They get their wish. They get to go back up there, play on the same field they did a year ago. I actually think Cascade Christian's going to win this game with that senior group. I think Parker Johnson, too much Parker Johnson, too much dual threat in this game. As much as the Lynx, they play in a tougher league, obviously, but I think the Cougars won in the rematch.
Number 14, Meridian, goes at number 3, Montesano. Monty, 10-0, undefeated. I've got Monty by about 10. You know, I think Meridian will give him a little bit more hell, even though, you know, the Trojans are 4-7. Do you agree, disagree?
Well, two of the best coaches in this classification, and Bob Ames at Meridian, Terry Jensen at Monty. Monty's just rolled through everybody, including Hoquiam. A little bit of a surprise. There wasn't a lot of offseason buzz about this team. This is a team that knows how to win in the state playoffs. This is not Meridian's best team under Bob Ames. I expect Monty to win by at least 2 touchdowns, if not more.
Deer Park at 6, hosts 11, Zilla. Deer Park's escaped, a difficult 1A Northeast League. Like I wrote in our previews, they've got wins over both teams in last year's 1A state championship. I've got Deer Park by a touchdown. What do you think?
I like it. I'm not going against a team that beat both finalists in 1A last year. They're one of the teams that beat Colville at home. This Zilla team is difficult to figure out because last year they were the team that wasn't giving up any points and lost to Newport in that close game in the state playoffs. Got blown out by LaSalle and just hasn't really seemed to recover. Haven't been the same team the second half of the year. I think Deer Park wins as well.
That's it for 1A. Now we'll go on to 2B, which you had, I know a lot of fun breaking down that bracket. Number 11, Friday Harbor, goes at number 6, Lake Roosevelt. Is Friday Harbor's stud running back and Kyson Jackson going to be enough to take down the Raiders?
I think Jackson's really, really good. He's physical. They have a pretty good line. The thing about Lake Roosevelt, if you follow them in other sports, this is not only a group of great athletes in football, but basketball, track. They've had success at the state level. Lake Roosevelt lost a really close game at Chewila. I just think they play better competition. They've been in this before. I think Lake Roosevelt's going to win a really good, entertaining game against Friday Harbor.
Number 14, Rainier, goes at number 3, Kalama, a team that knows success. Does Rainier have a shot at Kalama?
Not this year. Maybe next year. Everybody knows in Southwest Washington that Rainier is going to be, with that group of ninth graders it has, is going to be over the next couple years, is going to be a handful. They've played all the tough teams and haven't been close. The Napa Vines, the Yannies, I don't see them being close to the two-time defending champs, especially with the way Brennan Vance has played lately.
Couple of teams who have picked up a couple losses this year at 10, at 7. 7 Colfax hosts number 10, Toledo.
Yeah, I mean, Toledo was they're a defending state semifinalist last year. The thing about them and Duke Chaplow and that wing tee is you're going to have to go beat them. Now they have to go to Colfax, a game that could be played in an hour and a half if the two offenses play out the right way. Both of them like to run the football. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I see Colfax edging Toledo. No long run for the Indians this year.
Number 2, Napa Vine, and quarterback Lathan Demarest. hosts number 15, Mapton. Is there any reason to think that that Napavine doesn't roll?
No, I mean Napavine's going to roll. But you mentioned Damaris. He's been battling a little bit of an ankle injury. I don't know how much he'll play this week. If they get up big, it'd be a good time to rest him. But the Tigers are determined. They have one loss on the ledger this year on a muddy field at Ani. You know, Josh Fay and that group, they're going to go far in the playoffs. There's no way they're going to go down in week one.
Number five, Adna hosts number 12, Davenport.
Yeah, one of the intriguing games in this first round. Adna, you know, they've played the tough team. Their three losses are the three best teams in the league, in the state, in fact. Casey Johnson's group has had some injuries. I don't know if they really want to face this funky sort of the single wing offense that Davenport runs, but they see it a little bit with what Ani does. But gave Ani their closest game all year. I think Adna should have been on the four line over Chewila. I don't see them. I don't think they're going to lose this weekend. No.
Number 13, Tenasket at number 4, Chewila.
Well, I mean, everybody in Eastern Washington's been talking about this Chewila team. Caden Krause. They've got Caden Krause at running back. You know, they've got a really powerful offense. They're physical. They look the part. I just can't get past the four losses that they've had by a lot. They'll win this week. But after that, I don't know how far this Cougars team is going to go. But yes, they will reach the quarterfinals.
Here's an 8-9 that could figure to be a barn burner, and that's number 9 Tri Cities Prep going to number 8 Asotin.
Yeah, I mean, contrast in styles. You know, Tri City Prep throws it all over the lot. You know, Asotin, big. Power running football team. These two teams played a couple years ago. Asotin won rather easily. I know I picked Asotin, to me this is a pick 'em game just because of the styles. You know, they're going to play on grass, so that obviously gives Asotin a little bit of an edge. But I'll tell you this much: if TCP can find a way to win this game and get to a guaranteed turf game against possibly Onalaska in the state quarterfinals, I think there are a lot of people around the state that would love to see that matchup. This is one of the few teams in Eastern Washington, I think, if they can get by this game, can make a run just because their pass offense is so dynamic.
We're rounding the corner. We're on the home stretch. The last pick of every bracket, we've got number 16 Brewster at number 1 Ani. I might make it easy for you to finish out here.
Yeah, you know, Ani, number 1 team all year, undefeated run through the regular season. Ashton Haight, fantastic senior year. He's a powerful running back. I see this game being on the clock, mercy rule. Ani in an easy one at home.
Subscribe to the Scorebook Life Today podcast on Apple, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. Anywhere you can get podcasts, you'll find us. That way you can get them for free in your pocket, your mobile device, every week when we publish. This week, we've got two podcasts. We're bringing it hot on the mics this week. So after the break, Dan Dickow sits down and interviews Jackson Grant of Olympia, 4-star who just committed to Washington. Stay with us.
Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.
Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live, Washington, here with junior from Olympia, Jackson Grant, who has recently made some big news, not only in the Northwest, but across college basketball in committing to the University of Washington. So first off, congrats, Jackson. That is awesome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Really quickly wanted to ask you, You had the opportunity to be recruited by a number of really good schools on the West Coast, as well as, you know, across the country, schools that were known for developing premier big man. But you choose Washington. Was there a determining factor that went into choosing the Huskies?
I think the main factor going into it was probably just the coaching staff. Out of all the coaching staffs, I really felt like I fit in the best with UW. And Coach Hoff just brings a lot of energy, and I really like that. And they seem really experienced. What Coach Hoff's been able to do with that program and turning around in 2 years, and when Pac-12 Coach of the Year back to back, and then their assistant coaches having been head coaches other places and having played in the NBA, they just have a lot of experience on their staff with everything that I would like to do, winning and playing in the NBA and everything.
You know, I think it's always interesting when a high school player has the opportunity to make a commitment such as yourself, who they lean on for advice, who they lean on for, you know, working through their thoughts as they're making that decision. Did you lean on your parents? Did you lean on your high school coach, Coach Kylie? Did you lean on your AAU coach, Carl Howell? Or who were kind of the guys or people that you looked at to for advice?
Yeah, so for me, I obviously lean on my parents because they're always just trying to do what's best for me, and I look up to them and I respect their opinion. And then Coach Kylie, who's been in my life for almost as long as my parents have, as long as I can remember, he's been my coach since like second grade, so I really respect and value his opinion too, so I look to him. And then Carl kind of got me recruited. He's always kind of believed in me, and he pretty much jump-started my recruiting, always kind of spread my name out there, so I look to him also. So mostly that group of people is the people I really look to the most.
Again, you've recently committed to the Huskies as only a junior, and that's a trend that is starting to happen across high school athletics. Is if you're being recruited and you know where you want to go, you've got a great connection with the coaching staff, why not commit early? So I commend you on that. But now that is out of the way, what becomes the focus for you, not only as an individual to get ready for your high school season, but your college career?
I think the focus for me is just to continue to get better every day, and it's kind of a nice weight off my shoulders to not have to worry about what coach might show up to the gym at this practice or this workout, just to be able to kind of focus on myself and getting better every day in whatever ways I can.
You mentioned Coach Hopkins and the energy that he brings. The times that I've had a chance to talk with him, I felt the exact same. Was there one particular moment where you were blown away by his energy, whether it was him talking to you or your parents, your AAU coach, or was it seeing him at a practice that you finally just said, you know what, I believe in the message that he's bringing, I want to play for him?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of the whole time you're around, you can just kind of feel it. He's always just super into whatever he's talking about. Like, we went to his house on the official, and he painted for, like, the UFC fight that was on that night. The whole night, he just couldn't, like, contain his energy. He's just like, I just love conversation. I'm so excited to watch this fight. He's like, you guys ever watched fights before? And it was just the whole time, he was so excited to watch the fight. And he's like that with, like, every part of his life. Like, whether they're at a game or at a practice, he's just super excited and into what he's doing.
That's awesome. I mean, knowing him a little bit, I wouldn't have pegged him for a UFC fight on an official visit, but I guess if that's what got it done,
like
that's
said,
what got
just,
it done.
He just loved competition, so just two guys just fighting it out, he just loved it.
That's awesome. One of the other things that you mentioned, competition, the junior class in the state of Washington has a number of very good bigs, and I don't want to pin this as a competition as who's better than who or whose upside is greater than whose, because I think when I look at the class of 2021, there are four bigs that really stand out. It's yourself, who's committed to University of Washington, Caden Perry, committed to Gonzaga, Tyson Degenhart, committed to Mount Spokane, and then Paolo Banchero at O'Day. When you look at those other three guys, I know you have a lot of respect for them, but, you know, how do you break down their game, and do you try to take anything from their games that could help your game?
I mean, I'm obviously always learning from people that are around me and kind of on the same level as me. If they beat me on a move in, say, a game or competition or scrimmage or something, I'm going to try and learn that move, or at least learn how to defend it so it doesn't happen again. But yeah, I totally have a ton of respect for those guys, and they have respect for me, and we're all good friends, and friendly competition is always fun with those guys, so it's a lot of fun.
Well, Jackson, again, we appreciate the time on Scorebook Live Washington. Congrats, and looking forward to following you, not just this year, but next year as well.
Yep, thank you.